Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
I'm John Batchelor, speaking to my colleague Kevin Fraser, the AI Innovation and Law Fellow at the University of Texas School of Law. His podcast is Scaling Laws. We turn to an article that Kevin has published at Civitas that raises, to me, an explanation for the ambition and the anxiety of the research scholars in the United States right now. Headlines tell the story. For example, I have one from Science Magazine, most recently. "The ship is going down and we are powerless," says a respondent in a survey posted August 27th that asked U.S. researchers who were training young scientists about the impact of grant terminations. At the same time, we have headlines in Nature magazine. This is the high-end peer-reviewed magazine of science, all scientific inquiry for Europe. "Just how bad will climate change get?" reads the headline. This is an editorial. "Predictions of climate change are uncertain. That's why now is not the time to cut back basic climate research." The word research keeps coming up, Kevin. And you're looking at a university environment. It's been some decades since I've been on one, Kevin, so I call upon your experience. It believes that research is a rite of passage for their credentials, these scholars and teachers. And the decision by the Trump administration, which right now is difficult to summarize other than to say there's going to be less than there used to be, has led to great anxiety among the scholarship community. You point to articles as early as Vannevar Bush's article, 1945, that said the road ahead is not all one way. What's happened, Kevin?
You know, John, I think we have to look at the fact that we've lost sight of the original purpose of public universities. Public universities were not designed to be think tanks for folks to sit at their desks and explore esoteric ideas just because it aligned with their whim and fancy. Public universities, land-grant universities, were very much intended to serve as bodies of knowledge and stores of knowledge for the public itself, for our state legislators, for our cities, for our policymakers. And what we've seen over time, I think, is a real disconnect between the folks in the proverbial ivory tower and the people counting on us to produce useful scholarship, to produce timely scholarship. And what I call for in this paper is an examination of the fact that we have this massive disconnect. And as you've noted, John, we're at a point where a lot of people are asking about the purpose of a public university. And I think us in the ivory tower, us academics, need to take seriously that there is indeed room for improvement to make sure we are public oriented and serving public purposes.
What isn't public, Kevin? Help me with this, because private universities depend upon the federal dollar. Does that make them private with a public caveat, or are they public as well?
Yeah, I think to differentiate between public and private, there's certainly a bit of a blurred line. I think the arguments I make are most in favor of calling on public universities that are clearly connected to their state government. So if you have a university that is a flagship university, for example, that is celebrated as a state institution, I think that adds an added responsibility on academics within those institutions to go and engage with their policymakers, with their state officials, and ask, what is it we can be doing? What questions can we be answering? Where are you right now depending on special interests and perhaps hired experts, where we can instead fill the void, providing you with more neutral and independent and high quality research? I think a lot of those questions should be carried over to private universities, but I do recognize that there's a time and a place, and there should be a time and a place for individuals who want to pay or receive different arrangements to go and explore whatever questions they want as an academic. But if you're at a public university, I think there is an added responsibility to be looking to your state legislature, to be looking to the public to ask how to orient your scholarship.
In your work, you're in a legal academy. Let's be very specific. You have students who are learning very quickly and inspired. Inspired as researchers, as inspired as authors, inspired as teachers. Do they make a difference?
You know, I think there is needs to be a greater focus on training teachers and training people who are going to share their knowledge and spark knowledge within their students and within others. As I point out in my piece, I think that the paramount purpose, the foundational purpose of being an academic is teaching. And for a lot of folks, we've lost sight of that being the number one priority. As I've noted, I'm not ashamed to admit, it's just a fact of reality, that not many people read most of my law review articles. But if I can inspire even a dozen or two dozen students to go take on new careers, to go explore new frontiers, to be more involved in their communities, that's where my true impact is going to come from. And I think we need to reorient the incentives we impose on academics to take seriously that fundamental obligation toward teaching.
Let's turn to the article that you published most recently about undersea cables in a publication called Lawfare. That's very helpful that you created this. I'm certain that it took time and preparation and research away from your teaching. Is that something that can be balanced in one person? Are we asking too much?
I certainly think that being an academic is perhaps contrary to some of the perspectives. One of the harder jobs, if you take the dual responsibility of training your students and helping the public on sensitive issues, that's a demanding responsibility. I do think it's one that is can be additive. So, for example, helping students use what you're teaching them toward informing your scholarship. One of my favorite things to do is to work with my students to research things like undersea cables and AI. And that, in that way, as my vegan wife loves to say, I'm feeding two birds with one scone by virtue of helping train my students and give them a meaningful opportunity to explore new ideas and then channeling that research into answering timely and important public questions.
Not to forgo the distinction between public and private, but that is not made much in Science and Nature magazine. It's all one, research grants. Is the presumption in the academy worldwide or just in the nation that research is the responsibility of the government to fund, that this is an obligation that the government has with the universities, or is it understood as voluntary?
You know, I'm not sure if I can provide a clear insight on the global relationship, but I will say that we have a rich and deep history of foundations, of philanthropic interests, of think tanks being the sponsors of bespoke research, of perhaps more exploratory research. And while, of course, I do support the federal government funding some of the basic R&D that we've seen lead to the internet, for example, lead to GPS, for example, I also think we need to be real about the fact if you are exploring some questions that aren't as sensitive or aren't as timely or deemed as important by your political community, then perhaps it's not the responsibility for the public to be the most involved stakeholder in that research.
That is a very good answer for a diplomat. I was looking for more side choosing. Well, I'm going to be puzzled for some time because I'm an amateur outside of all of this. It occurs to me that one observation that is credible is that the research grants and the research recipients and the universities, public and private, were not prepared for the present conditions. Is that your observation as well? They didn't have a plan B just in case.
I would certainly agree with that, John. I think we've seen polling that trust between the publics and academics is near a historic low. Just one in five voters, as I point out in my piece, have a, quote, great deal of trust in academic institutions to act in the public interest. And that's a lack of distrust that doesn't just occur overnight. I think we see reports of universities spending massive sums on impressive athletic facilities. We see them spending on hot tubs for students and so on and so forth. And the public's rightfully asking, is this really how we want our public dollars to be spent? Or should we impose a real responsibility, as we saw, for example, going way back to this idea of a quote-unquote Wisconsin idea?
Right.
This was from the early 20th century, where the University of Wisconsin said, it is our mission, it is our goal to contribute to the state. And we expect our students, we expect our staff, we expect our faculty to be very intertwined in the needs of the state. And that perspective, that idea of grounding research in the broader societal interest is something that Vannevar Bush pointed out way back in the 1940s, and something that we've been asleep at the wheel on for too long, and the public's caught on.
Kevin Fraser, University of Texas School of Law.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.